This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The Ukrainians are still determined to fight as they push back the Russians, still trying to take over the capital. That has not happened as we are going deeper and deeper into this war situation. And the Ukraine's MP says we need weapons, not motivation. Plus, it is still the conversation. Will Smith taking his decision to jump up on the stage and before he got his best Oscar award and slap Chris Rock for a joke he made about Jada Pinkett Smith, his wife, to a different level, a different place. Now there's been conversation all over Twitter about toxic masculinity and what was Will Smith thinking. And I think that this hangs around for a bit as the Oscar committee looks into the Academy of Motion Pictures and Sciences looks into what they possibly could rule after an investigation, rule about the situation of the violence against Rock is what they're calling it. In the meantime, I'm here in Florida. It's not about violence. It's about sunshine, baby. Great weather in Florida right now because this is one of the months where it's not so hot that you feel like you have to be submerged in water at all times, which is a very, very good thing. And I kid because I love the sunshine state, and I'm thrilled to be here with a chance to hang with family and work on a few other things as well. So my name's Kate Delaney. If you haven't been here before, welcome, welcome, welcome. Here's the deal with the Ukrainian parliament. Kira Rudik says that we need weapons, not motivation. I saw a little clip of her today. She had been on a couple of different shows. And she said that, listen, when you're at war, you expect to have some practical statements, like the amount of weaponry that will be available, maybe some new sanctions, maybe getting the jets that we so desperately need. We need them. There were so many questions raised, like why are we talking about that Putin can't remain in power without having exactly the plan of how he will not remain in power? So, of course, this comes on the heels of President Biden getting a little bit of heat for his call to end Putin's reign, and the White House pulling back on that statement. But there are others who certainly have done more than suggest. They have kind of drawn out in their minds ways that Putin wouldn't be standing. So what we're seeing, and this is the beauty of me being here live with all of you, no matter where you hail from, Tallahassee, New Orleans, big shout out to the West Coast, or wherever it is you're listening, Oklahoma City, deeper into Michigan, the shelling continues. It continues overnight, 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 overnight. Negotiations starting again in Turkey Tuesday. But what does it mean? What does it mean when they decide that there is some sort of peace agreement that can happen between the Ukrainians and the Russians? And would Putin really step back from his ultimate goal? I mean, for now, they have drawn back from Kyiv, which is the capital city, but they still have gone after gas and oil storage facilities in the central regions, in western Ukraine, and some of the other places that they're starting to hit. Attack, 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 but often pushed back by the Ukrainian soldiers. So at this point, it doesn't look like Kyiv, at least in the next couple of days, it doesn't look like Kyiv is going to fall. And that maybe it changes the fates and fortunes of some of the Ukrainians. Maybe it doesn't. There are Russian soldiers, we know that, who don't want to be part of this. They're fulfilling their duty, but they don't want to be firing on innocent people. So that's created something else, a third leg to this, you know, if you will. All right, I got to mention this because I said it at the top. Will Smith did apologize to Chris Rock, saying that his behavior was inexcusable, is what he termed it. It was inexcusable. So what does that mean exactly? And this is the day after he said, I was out of line, and that his actions aren't indicative of the man. I like how he said this, of the man he wants to be. Because the fallout from that award show that many of you wouldn't have watched just continues to roll through the week. The Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences did determine that Smith's onstage assault, and looking at that and saying it would launch an inquiry into it. But Smith has given a couple of apologies, much stronger than he did earlier in the day. He said his best actor acceptance speech, which notably didn't include apologizing to Rock, he said violence in all of its forms is poisonous and destructive. My behavior at last night's Academy Awards was unacceptable and inexcusable. Excuse me. Jokes at my expense are part of the job, but a joke about Jada's medical condition was too much for me to bear, and I reacted emotionally. He said, I'd like to publicly apologize to you, Chris. I was out of line. I was wrong. I was embarrassed. My actions were not indicative of the man I want to be. There is no place for violence in a world of love and kindness. So there is that, but some would say, oh, yeah, a day later. And some would say, that's fine. Allegedly, and which is what I thought, is that he didn't know about her condition. So he didn't know that she had this alopecia thing where your hair comes out, and so you just shave it because it makes more sense. I think he from everything that's being reported, he was unaware of it, and that he would never be super mean like that, like he wouldn't go after her. So it was a coincidence, and a bad coincidence, unfortunately, but a coincidence, you know, nonetheless. So as we wait to see the saga there, what do they do? Kick him out for a year, kick him out for a few years? I mean, what possibly would be different? And the answer to that is, who knows? Who knows what is going through their minds right now? Who knows? I mentioned in the previous hour that there is a new variant of COVID-19 that has been making the rounds, mostly in other places, but still, overwhelmingly, I think the American public does not support reinstituting mask mandates or social distancing guidelines even. There was a survey that was done by Monmouth University, and they revealed that on Monday. 62% of the people polled had no interest in bringing back mask requirements to their current state of residence, wherever that happens to be. But in some places, it's jumped in a different direction. All right, hang with us. Kick up your feet, or put up your feet, easy for me to say. Relax. I'll meet you on the flip side.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting Save SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn what more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
We go to the UK for a conversation with Emma Harrison. She has written a book called Ups and Downs of Life, and it's such a personal book, and I think this is a book that could help many other people who find themselves losing anybody in their life, but especially losing a spouse is so difficult when you can finish each other's sentences and there's just somebody there that's your companion, and you know that no matter what, they care about you. That feeling is so wonderful, and it's so hard when you lose that feeling when they pass away. So, Emma, thanks for coming on.
Pleasure's all mine, Kate.
So, what made you decide to write this book? Why did you write the book?
Well, I wanted to help people who are grieving and they can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I just want to give them inspiration and say there is light at the end of the tunnel. It's just a phase.
It's just a phase. Tell us about what happened with you. Tell us about how you met your husband and what he was like, and then what happened.
Well, in my heart, he was a legend, and every person he spoke to or he touched everyone's lives with his kindness and his positivity. We met on a Plenty of Fish dating website, and it was 2 years before we got married.
Well, so you had time together and you did fun things. What did the two of you like to do? Did you have shows that you liked to watch or go to the movies or go out to eat, or what were the things you liked to do?
Well, we liked going to car shows, you know, showing off his beloved Cougar 2.
Oh, car shows.
Yeah,
oh.
Car shows.
Oh, I can relate to that. So I bet you that was fun going to the car shows. And then you date, it's great, you meet, you get married, and then what happens?
Well, 4 days after we got married, he passed away from gallbladder cancer.
Oh.
It's one of those hard cancers that's hard to diagnose.
Right, so he didn't know he had it.
No, he didn't know he had it until after we got engaged. It was 8 months from his diagnosis to him passing away.
Wow. So that happens, and how in the heck, Emma,
gosh, how in the heck, and we're so sorry for that, but how in the heck do you move forward? And obviously the book had to be cathartic, and you're sharing that, and we'll talk more about that, but how do you get through that?
Well, I had friends and family. Every time I was feeling down or low, I always called somebody up. Even my in-laws or phones, see how they are. I even went to volunteering and got out into the fresh air.
And that helped you. Right, and that helped you by getting out.
Yeah.
So with your, you know, with this happens, you write the book, and in the book you're really honest. You tell it's exactly what the title is, ups and downs of life. So when somebody reads this book, what other things do you talk about in it?
Well, I talk about my whole life, from the ups and downs of through childhood, including the adults as well, all the problems that I've overcome.
Right. And so you found that it's like a roller coaster, right? That's why you're saying ups and downs, and that everybody, and do you ever think that, I think people in the world, especially now with social media, they look around and they think, wow, everybody else seems to have like this perfect life, no matter what they look like or where they're from. It's like, what is going on with me that they just, that everything's smooth sailing? And that's why your book is so real, because you talk about, well, this is what happens. You know, there's these great moments, and then there's these other things that happen. When somebody reads your book, what do you hope they take away from reading Ups and Downs of Life, which, by the way, you can get on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or anywhere where great books are sold. What do you hope they take away?
Well, inspiration, you know, to get on with life and move forward. Great things are coming their way. If they just believe.
Ah, that's a wonderful sentiment. Just believe. And you and I were talking off the air, and you know, this isn't it for you as far as writing books. Your next book is We Attract What We Think About. You're working on that. And that's part of what we're talking about here is, how do you move forward and what do you attract? And have you found that you really got to focus on what your thoughts are?
Yeah. You got to understand and become more aware of what you're thinking about.
Yeah. What's the best part for you writing this first book, Ups and Downs of Life, and then the next one that's coming about, We Attract What We Think About?
I mean, I just love writing. I've wanted to write since I was little, but I was put down when I was little, and now I've since becoming aware of what I'm thinking about, thanks to Bob Proctor. I'm going for it.
And what do your friends and family say about your writing? Because, I mean, that's pretty special. When, yes, there's lots of books in the world, but there are not a lot of writers, really. People always talk about writing things down and writing a book, and they never get around to it. And you have done it and talked about some painful subjects and some wonderful things, and then you've got a second one that you're working on. What's the reaction of the people around you to you writing?
They just want to congratulate me and say, what an achievement, what you've done.
Yeah, and it feels good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feels wonderful.
Yeah, so for your husband, he would be proud of you, wouldn't he?
Yes.
And to remember him, you and I talked about this, and then this is a good thing, I think, for other people who find themselves a widower or a widow, or just losing anybody, a child, someone close to you. Sometimes you can talk to them. You just talk out loud, like, hey, today's a great day. You mentioned it, going out in the air. Do you do that?
Yes, I do quite often.
Yeah. And you know, car shows would be a wonderful thing to do, too.
Yeah.
Going back out to car shows. Well, it's such an achievement to write a book, let alone you have another one coming out, too. And this book is called Ups and Downs of Life, as we mentioned. Emma Harrison, keep fighting the good fight and getting the word out there and telling people to believe. And thanks for coming on.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
All right, so we move from that story and how tough it is. It is very, very tough to lose someone that you're spending every day of your life with, and then poof, suddenly they're gone, no matter how long that you've known them. We've been talking about gas prices, of course, that have been crippling to so many people. And it's interesting, I read a great story in the Wall Street Journal, and they were talking about, and I've noticed this, I didn't really think about it, but that with the gas prices surging, that some people are figuring out new ways to get around. And it's not, let me jump on a bus. How about let me jump on a scooter, especially in some of your major cities, that people have small commutes are doing that instead in not just New York City. And, of course, with car buying, because the markets are insane, what you pay for a new car, let alone a used car. Miami, they say the e-scooter marketplace there is off the charts. Off the charts. That they sell more than twice as many than they've ever moved in the past month, the month before that. And sales are 70% higher from a previous year. So with gasoline still up about 30%, and people who need cars not getting cars, they had to figure something else out, right? So what's the something else? Get on a scooter. It's funny, I have noticed more people on a scooter. And sometimes it must be rented in some of these areas that you just jump on and get to where you're going and jump off and then go get one again. So the interest has been charged up, you might say, because you have to charge whatever it is that you rent. So that's the hidden thing there for some people. But, and this isn't super young people. I mean, people in their 30s and 40s are getting some of these scooters. Yes, younger people can, but a lot of times it's the adult population. Because they have, I guess, when they can do it, because you certainly couldn't get around on a scooter when you're going deeper into some city somewhere, but they're saying 20, 40, 60, 70, 80, 80 more bucks for gas is just 80 too many. And you can get an electric scooter for, like, the basic, for, like, $300. I mean, that's it, right? I mean, they do say on the... when it's all wrapped up, they say that not all scooters are created equal. Some less expensive models can feel less stable and go only about 10 miles an hour on a charge. That could be a problem if you're in a suburb somewhere and you're trying to get to a major metropolitan area that's just right around the corner, right? But I have noticed more motorcycles, I've noticed more bikes, and I guess now we have electric scooters, too. If you have an electric scooter, if you do, email me. What's it like? KateAtKateDelaneyRadio.com.
Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're gonna win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
No regrets. However, President Biden did clarify that his remarks from Saturday that his Russian counterpart cannot remain in power was his personal opinion and not an official policy calling for a regime change in Russia.
I was expressing more outrage than I feel, and I make no apologies for it.
Biden made the remarks during his address in Poland as he was rallying support for Ukraine. Meantime, Ukrainian forces have claimed to have retaken a suburb of Kyiv and an eastern town from Russian forces. It comes ahead of talks to be held in Istanbul. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said his country is prepared to declare its neutrality and is open to compromise on the fate of the Donbas region. Wall Street closed higher on Monday, though the price of crude oil fell sharply. The Dow was up 95 points, the NASDAQ was up 186 points, the S&P 500 gained 32. This is USA Radio News. At least three people were killed and more than a dozen were hurt as several vehicles crashed into each other during a snow squall in Pennsylvania. It happened on Interstate 81 in northeastern PA. Emergency officials believe the squall clouded visibility and likely contributed to the crash. At least 40 vehicles were involved, including multiple tractor trailers. China has begun its most extensive COVID-19 lockdown in 2 years. Officials there will conduct mass testing and address a growing outbreak in Shanghai as part of its zero COVID strategy. The citywide lockdown is expected to be conducted in two phases. The financial district will be locked down through Friday, while a vast part of its downtown area will start a five-day lockdown on Friday. Actor Will Smith has apologized to comedian Chris Rock for slapping him Sunday during the 94th Annual Academy Awards. This year's Oscar winner for Best Actor said he was out of line and that his actions are, quote, not indicative of the man I want to be. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Talk to Matthew Gorge, our friend, than now. He is the founder and CEO of Vigi Trust. He is the author of the book, The Cyber Elephant in the Boardroom, and he's got these brilliant five pillars of security framework, cyber accountability, and he and I have talked about that a lot. Never, never more a better time to talk to him because of so many things that have been happening in the world, and how secure are you, and how secure is your company. Hey, Matthew, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, how are you? Very nice to be here again. Thank you for the opportunity.
And thanks for joining us from Dublin, which is where one of your offices is.
That's correct, yeah. Dublin, New York, and Paris, but today it's Dublin.
And you actually, with all the, I mean, Vigitrust, congratulations on this. It's been like 20 years. How many countries are you in? I think it's like 120, right?
Yeah, so we've got users in 120 countries. We've just entered our 20th year. As you can imagine, over the last 20 years, things have changed dramatically. Like 20 years ago, it was all about protecting the networks. Then it went into network security, content security, data protection, privacy. And today we have like cloud applications, remote working at post-pandemic. And of course, we've got ransomware, which is rampant. And so the risk surface has changed dramatically. And the attack vectors have increased. And so, you know, as a CISO, it's a lonely job because you need to get it right all the time, whereas the attackers only need to get it right once.
Yeah, and speaking of attackers, something that has been talked about, especially the last couple of days, is what's been happening with Russia and the Ukraine and, of course, NATO and et cetera. It's not about the politics. We could leave that aside for a second, but it's about perhaps cyber attacks, because that's been suggested that you might see more of that emanating out of Russia, but very tough to track that, right?
It's extremely tough to track, you know, and even if a nation state, be it Russia or another country, claims responsibility for an attack, there's no 100% way of being able to demonstrate that it was them. And even if there is, from a political perspective, it's a very delicate thing to do. Even when you look at generic attacks and you try to find the perpetrators, if you're finding the origin of the attack in a different nation, it's going to take a while before you can actually get the police forces to get the right information locally in order to get them. So what's happening right now is that kind of, if you look back years ago, maybe decades ago when there was a war, you were only doing the war on three domains, right? So it was land, air, and water. And today it's also cyber. But unlike land and air and in water, it's very hard to define where that cyber surface stops and where it might end from an attack perspective. What we do know, however, and that's 100% sure, is that as a nation state, if you wanna have a very effective attack, you would want to do a two-pronged attack. So you would do a physical attack with a cyber attack. Whether you do the cyber attack just before the physical attack or after really depends. And you might do both. So you might use a cyber attack to weaken the critical infrastructure of a country, especially access to communications, access to defense forces, access to water, access to health services. You weaken that before you launch the physical attack. And as people are scrambling to essentially respond, the first responders, they don't have access to all the data and all the tools that they normally would have. Or you do it the other way around. And so, those cyber attacks and that attack surface, it's being monitored on a continuous basis by the attackers. They're trying to find your vulnerabilities way ahead of the physical attack.
Wow. All right, we'll see what happens, but definitely time to watch for that happening in all different aspects of our lives, including what happens when you have a smart house. You know, we're talking about smart homes, and what happens with what you've got digitally going on. How vulnerable are you there? Because I think people don't really think about it, but now they're starting to see that that's happening.
Well, absolutely. The same way as I was talking about the nation's critical infrastructure, where everything is connected, today in your house, everything is connected. So whereas 5 years ago, you would have had maybe five devices per family that would be connected. Today, you might have 40, 50 different devices and some devices that you forgot you connected to your home network. So your own risk surface has increased dramatically as well. But because you're not necessarily a security expert or you're a very trusting person, you're kind of thinking about the advantages, the features that those connected objects give you, as opposed to thinking about how is that impacting my life. And so one of the things that, you know, listeners should think about is that the attacks are becoming much more personal. So if we attack, say, Colonial Pipeline, or if we attack a food provider, like was the case in the U.S. last year, or we attack the health service executive in Ireland, it sounds like it's a group of hackers hacking a government or hacking a big company. But the reality is slightly different, because they're hacking those enterprises, so to speak, or those networks. And that directly impacts on your ability as a person to get access to health services, to banking, to food, to energy. And so you wake up one morning, there's no electricity, there's no water, you're sick, and there's no emergency services. So what we need to understand as a people is that we need to work together to protect our own infrastructure at home. So I often talk about protecting your own personal critical infrastructure. Right, so your personal infrastructure is like your connected door, your connected car, your connected kettle, your connected fridge, your connected systems that may even send an automatic order when you run out of certain items at home. And so you need to protect all of that because you're at risk as well. The good news is that it's not really rocket science to protect it.
Right. And so how do you do that? I mean, obviously passwords is one thing. I think sometimes people make easy passwords or they get stuck on that. And then that's an easy thing to crack.
Yeah. I mean, too often we see that passwords are actually passwords or password one, password two, or it's your date of birth or it's your pet's name or whatever. I think that the you know, multi-factor authentication is something that's freely available for most good applications, and so you should use it. And also you need to look at the systems that you plug in, and generally speaking, when you go into settings, you'll find a security tab, and you can actually turn off all the services that you don't need. Even on an iPhone, there's a lot of services that are turned on by default. And it's because they want you to use applications, but you may not need all of this. You know, why leave a door open when you don't need it open? Because eventually it's going to slam, or there's going to be a draft coming into your house. Well, it's the same analogy, you know, for your critical infrastructure. And the other thing you can do is you can use managed service providers for personal infrastructure. There's a good few of them at the moment, especially in the US. They cost a few dollars per month, and they manage all of that security. And if there's something wrong, they send you an alert, and you can decide what you want to do.
All right. That's a great suggestion. And, you know, we're only a couple of months into 2022. What else do you fear, or what do you see as you look at this year and then even bouncing out into the end of the year and into next year as what's so critical when it comes to cybersecurity?
So I think that we're going to see a lot more ransomware this year, because unfortunately, whilst the ransomware software itself is not necessarily very advanced, or even when it's advanced, it only gets in because we as humans make mistakes. So we click on the wrong phishing email. We are seeing a huge increase in the last couple of months in SMS, so phone-based, message-based attacks. And they're very easy to spoof and very hard for Joe Public to see them. I do think we're going to see a lot more attacks on major infrastructure, primarily in health, so health systems, hospitals, and in transportation, disruption to major airports and that type of stuff. But I also think that we're going to see attacks on C-level people and the board. And we're seeing it every year, we're seeing it going up. And whilst every year we're seeing more and more boards getting the right education level around cyber accountability, it's still increasing. And so I think we really need to have our key decision makers, and especially in mission critical enterprises, to understand their responsibility towards their consumers and towards the general public. And that goes as well for semi-state and organizations, government organizations that are providing services to the public. I mean, certainly anybody that's taking credit card payments for parking enforcement or, you know, for a license plate or whatever, That should be by default PCI compliant, and if it's not, there should be an alert that goes up. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Matthew George, always great to talk to you again. His book, you can get it. It's wonderful. The Cyber Elephant in the Boardroom. He is the founder of VigiTrust. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Kate. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I can't tell you how excited I am to have Christine Hassing on with us. She's written a book called Hope Has a Cold Nose. And wait till you hear the story behind this book and the book itself. Christine, thanks so much for coming on.
Okay, it's my honor. Thank you.
Tell me what led you to write this book. Why did you write the book in the first place?
So I was in class with a veteran and a service dog, and we were given an assignment to create something we hadn't done before. And writing life stories was not new to me. I had been volunteering at a local hospice writing life stories for a couple of years. And just prior to meeting the veteran, I had actually been writing letters for a dear friend who was dying of cancer, and we were writing letters for her to leave to her two sons. And so anyway, I asked the veteran if I could write his life story. And what made that new for me is I had not written a life story for somebody who was not knowingly dying. And this veteran very graciously said yes. And so I wrote his story. And in his telling the story, he shared with me a statistic I did not know at the time, that 22 veterans commit suicide a day. And it just absolutely broke my heart to think that there was 22 souls that reached a point where they lost their sense of hope. And so I felt called, inspired, whatever might be the word, to write a book and write life stories of hope and healing and dignity found with the unconditional acceptance and love of a service dog.
So in the book, you really dive into this, talking about matching humans with the right dog, the right service dog, and you tell these stories. Tell us more about the book.
Yeah, so there's 23 life stories. They all have, you know, the common theme of PTSD, but I like to reframe it as pain, trauma, sorrow, or despair, because then I think that takes away any chance of a stereotype when we hear the acronym PTSD. And pain, trauma, sorrow, despair is something we all know at least one aspect of at least once in our lives. And the other theme is the unconditional listening and the unconditional acceptance, because a dog has no judgment. They can't speak back. They can listen and love. And each of the stories, they have that common theme, but each of them are different, one, because they're each individual life story. But my approach with each person was simply to listen. And so some people wanted to talk about their deployment. Others wanted to talk about how their life had changed once they got their service dog. And others wanted to share things from their childhood as well. So each story is unique with a common theme.
Tell us one of the stories. I mean, it's probably hard to pick out your favorite, but tell us one of the stories.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much time do we have for all 23? I will share. There's one story that comes to mind immediately. It was a gentleman who had been a veteran during the Vietnam War. And when he was serving in Vietnam, he had a canine dog that also served with him, who was the dog to sniff out harm. And he returned to the United States, and unfortunately was not able to bring that dog back with him. And that broke his heart and left him very sad, feeling very guilty, along with the traumas of his experiences during that time. So he lived with anxiety, nightmares, you know, a lot of the things that we hear when we hear PTSD. And about 30 years later, he got involved in his community with building a replica of the Vietnam Wall that they could travel to different events, different engagements, and share that wall. So he was on a tour with this wall, and he happened to cross paths with Northwest Battle Buddies in Oregon, or Washington, I should say, Washington State. And he happened to know one of the people that works in that organization, who came up and showed him a picture of a puppy and was asking his advice on how to train this dog, because this person knew this veteran sharing the story had experiences with training dogs from his time in service. So this gentleman shared, and a few months later, their paths crossed again. And again, he was shown a picture of this dog and the progress, hearing how he was doing. And fast forward about another year, so I'd say about 2 years, because that's usually what it takes to train a dog, he went to a fundraising event with Northwest Battle Buddies, and he was a speaker, which was really hard for him because he, again, with his anxiousness, wasn't comfortable, but still did that. And at the end of his speech, the founder of Northwest Battle Buddies came up to him and pointed to the back of the room. And the dog that he had been seeing pictures of was given to him that night to be his service dog. And he started training and found a lot of healing from the dog that he couldn't bring to the United States with him, found a lot of healing on his journey with PTSD, and found a deeper bond with his children because they gained an understanding of the story he had been able to talk about until he shared it for the book.
Wow, what a beautiful story. And there's so many other stories, too, that just they'll just make you smile and get you teary-eyed and everything else. How did you find these stories?
It was, I would say, word of mouth, reaching out. You know, so the first veteran connected me with three additional individuals. I would reach out to organizations, and there would be one person who would want to graciously share their story. They would maybe know somebody or not, and it just became kind of through a two-year journey. One of the things, I had a goal. I wanted at least 22 stories because of the symbolism of 22 lives a day. And just before our world pandemic hit, I gained the last five stories of my goal to complete the book. And I always felt like that was a sign that the book needed to be out there not only for the 22 lives a day, but for what everybody was suddenly starting to understand about isolation, anxiousness, and some of those things that I think a lot of the people in the world are starting to experience over the last couple of years.
Yeah, wow. Good for you. What do you hope people take away from reading Hope Has a Cold Nose, which you can get on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold?
Yeah, so a couple of things. One, I would like to inspire an awareness of a journey with PTSD, foster a compassion for that journey. But also, raise awareness about the holistic healing effect of dogs, service dogs, therapy dogs, emotional support dogs. But in all of those ways, there's a lot of healing power in that. And also to foster a common, more of a, take away the judgment, I guess that's what I'm trying to say, Kate, is take away the judgment that we sometimes have when we hear certain acronyms, or we don't know what to say because we don't know how to handle somebody's pain from their trauma or those things. And foster unconditional listening. I think that was one of the things that so many of the veterans said, as they said, my dog just listens. I can tell them anything. And they said, even if I have someone close to me who really tries to listen and understand, for the veteran, they're still judging themselves. And so they're still expecting the person they're talking to judge them. Where a dog just looks at them with those loving eyes and holds absolutely no judgment. So I would also like to foster us unconditionally listening. We don't have to accept the story, but I think if we listen, we start the healing process for people too.
Oh, so well said. Again, the name of the book is Hope Has a Cold Nose. Christine Hassing, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Okay, thank you. Definitely my privilege.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count, everybody. Those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.